Welcome back to the Hockey House Pod, episode 144, presented by Sally Hockey Co. I'm your host, Mackenzie Murphy, as we bring you to the tail end of the ACHA and AAU college hockey offseason. I mean, we got games around the corner. I think September 6th is going to be the big start date for a lot of teams, which is crazy. I feel like that comes sooner every single year. Last year was Labor Day weekend. Again, it's going to be Labor Day weekend this year again, but just feels like that date is getting closer and closer to the 1st of September every year. I'm joined alongside tonight by our executive producer, David Herman, who has been a minute since we got a life update from you. And I'm just going to throw it over to you first because I got to catch up with you this weekend and we'll kind of dive into that in a little bit. But people are asking about you. You moved back to New York and you got some exciting news to share with the listeners.
So I'm very excited to share that I am the new social programmer for Bleacher Report Open Ice. This is a page that we've collaborated with extensively on Hockey House and one that I've been a fan of since their inception a couple of years ago. I felt like it was time for me personally and professionally to make a move to a new opportunity. And I was talking with Open Ice and one other major brand within the hockey space. And I'm so incredibly fortunate that Open Ice extended an offer to me, and I'm about 3 weeks in to the role right now. It feels like it's flown by so fast that I'm not even in month one still, and how well I've settled in with the team, with Evan, with Matt, with Sam. It is such an incredible privilege to get to publish content like that on an international scale and really take the next logical step after doing Hockey House for so long and being tapped into the live social conversation and the zeitgeist around hockey to do it for the NHL. And I'm so excited to say this on the podcast. I'm so excited to wear a Rangers jersey again. It's going to be great. I'm going to get to go to the Garden and root for the New York Rangers after 2 years of not being able to do that. It's going to be so cathartic for me.
You guys don't know how excited I am to hear David Herman say those words, because there were so many times during the Stanley Cup playoffs where Collins and I would try to bait him into making comments about the Rangers. And if he ever came close or there was a slip of the tongue, he was the one who could always go back and edit it out. But so glad that you can kind of reveal that again, and we can go back to kind of having more candid conversations. I think a lot of our followers are following us on Instagram. And if you're a hockey fan on Instagram, you're probably following BR Open Ice as well. What's a piece of content that you've created that maybe the listeners have seen so far that you're pretty proud of already?
Two TikToks that have done some solid numbers so far. I think both are above 300,000-ish views. I posted the video from David Pasternak's wedding of all the Bruins and a whole bunch of David Pasternak's teammates, present and past. And then we posted the Pitlick Minnesota goal from last year as just kind of a throwback highlight. Did a standard sort of motion track job that I do for a lot of Hockey House clips. And despite the fact that it was a highlight from last year, people clearly hadn't seen it or wanted to watch it again, and that did some good numbers. I made the post recently about the most iconic photos in hockey that you'd never seen before, kind of inspired by my affinity for photo that I have on Hockey House and throughout my own personal pages. That was a ton of fun. I did the design for the Matt Barzal Kyrgyzstani swimmer post, which I thought was hilarious. If you haven't seen it, there's this Olympic swimmer that is a dead ringer for Matt Barzal. It's insane. And there's plenty more. If you check my gondola, it's perpetually updating with all of the stuff that I've been making lately.
But no, Herm, I think it's great to have you give the update like that. We, of course, got to catch up this weekend, which is very rare. When you and I get to meet up and it's not ACHA or AAU college hockey related, I went to New York City for the weekend to visit some of my old Syracuse friends, Zarb, Jordo, Vin, and it was a phenomenal time. Johnny Cajola made a surprise appearance on Friday night in the East Village, and it was just a phenomenal time. We went to the Mets game. Herm, you joined us, and we went a little bar hopping on Saturday night as well. I mean, I've been to Times Square once before, but I've never really, you know, hung out there. And that's kind of where we were staying at for the weekend. And so that was really cool to experience that. I had never been to Central Park before. And so I got to walk around there for a little bit. I mean, kid from New Hampshire, not that I've never been in a park before, but I was just amazed seeing all the people in Central Park. It was just like, you kind of take a step back, because most of the parks I went to growing up in New Hampshire, you know, it's like wide open space, lots of green grass. Not that there isn't green grass in Central Park, but every inch of that green grass is occupied by people on blankets and having picnics and intramural softball, kickball, you name it. So it was a pretty fun experience. But Herm, I'm glad you got to join along for a little bit because the boys had themselves a weekend.
It was a great time. Murph, what is your bigger lesson? One, how to properly walk in New York City, or two, making sure you have the correct address when there's potentially chain locations for a bar?
I definitely know how to walk like a New Yorker. I think New Yorkers and Bostonians have very similar patterns, and like I think it's cold in the Northeast and you got to get to where you're going as fast as possible and you don't have time to stop and smell the flowers on the way by. I think this weekend I was being more of a tourist and kind of just like soaking it in, like not in any rush where we were going. And I think you were leading the charge there in the front of the sidewalk for the group. But I think I definitely learned my lesson. We went to Stout around Grand Central and we were meeting up. And I've been to that Stout location before, and I just assumed that there was one near Grand Central. Typed it in on my phone. There was three locations 0.7 miles away. I just assumed that they were all the same location and that there was repeat locations on Google Maps. Turns out we were wrong. So I think we ended up having to go probably another 0.8 miles to go and get to the right location. But we had a blast. I think we mapped out the weekend perfectly. And then Vinny Barone wasn't able to make it out on Saturday night, so he treated the boys to brunch on Sunday morning, and I rode the Amtrak back to Boston. And it's funny, another life update, Herm, you know, kind of giving your job update. I've now moved to Boston, living in my apartment in Quincy. If my voice sounds different tonight, I promise I'm not under the weather. The acoustics in here are a lot different than being in my house back in New Hampshire, the original hockey house in Syracuse. So we're still getting acclimated here. I wouldn't say I'm moved in. I would say I'm living in my apartment and all of my stuff is here. I had another carload of stuff arrive today. I'm going to bring back another carload this weekend, putting together my room. My bedroom is all put together. There's just like a lot of stuff lying around that needs a home. Luckily, we were able to get some furniture in today. I'm still halfway through putting my TV stand together. The TV hasn't come out of the box yet. So looking forward to bringing that all together and being able to host friends in my apartment because I'm living alone. And the awesome part was I got to go to New York this weekend and I took public transportation the whole way, rode the Red Line into South Station, took the Amtrak from South Station down to Moynihan Train Hall and did the reverse on the way back. So I'm very excited to be living on my own and getting used to the commute here. But we got I feel like we got to give a couple of men's league updates too, because Fitzy is out because he's got men's league tonight. He's in a big playoff game. Collins is out this week, right? Like we mentioned last time, he's getting ready to move to New York. We had a tournament a couple weekends ago in Bridgeton, which was awesome to go to. I actually played, this is a first in Hockey House Pod history. I actually played against somebody that we've talked about on the pod, which was a really weird experience. I remember a couple weeks ago, and I should have gone and found his name, but in the Bridgeton tournament, we actually ended up losing in the championship to the kid from Liberty who is transferring to Central Maine Community College, and he was decked out in his Liberty stuff, and we're playing in a tournament not far from Lewiston, Maine, and a lot of CMCC guys playing in this tournament as well. So he lit it up, and his team ended up beating us in the championship after we beat them on Friday night to start the tournament. So a little ACHA connection there, but definitely weird. Like I was like, wow, I was like pumping this guy's tires a couple weeks ago, and now I got to chase him down in a men's league game. That was a fun tournament. And then we had a heartbreaker in the Boston Summer League final a couple nights ago. We went down 3-0 in the first period. Didn't help ourselves there, came back, tied at 3-3 in the second, and then ended up losing on a power play goal and an empty netter in the third. But it was a great season. We'll turn around next week and start the fall season against the same teams that we played against all summer long. So it's not the end of the world that we lost a playoff game. But Herm, I think we should jump into the news at this point. I know people love hearing about our lives and catching up. And I think it's honestly, it's crazy how I think it's important to kind of share what we're up to in life, because I think so much of our lives have revolved around the ACHA and AAU college hockey and kind of gotten to where we are now. So it's fun to talk about and bring it up to the people. But I want to say the theme of this episode is ACHA to ECHL and pro signings and coach movements, because that seems like what the majority of the news was the last couple of weeks. Nothing major going on, not as big of the conference realignment that we saw last episode and covered. Herm, I know you had a different headline for this, but I wanted to kind of change it up because I think it's a valuable conversation to have. We have a top three coaching job in the ACHA recently open up after three seasons as head coach for the Ohio Bobcats ACHA M1 team. Coach Leo Marone is announced that he is stepping down to pursue another coaching opportunity. A huge shakeup in the ACHA coaching landscape. Leo has done a phenomenal job. He's been behind the bench at Ohio for four seasons now, spent the last three as head coach. Herm, you know more than I do the impact that he has had on the Athens community and Ohio University as a whole, but you got to think of some of the best jobs in the ACHA. Liberty is going to be up there. Ohio is going to be up there. I don't even know who you would say for number three, maybe a team that we're going to talk about later on in the pod with when it comes to coaching. But I want to turn it over to you because you have seen firsthand, you know, how big of an impact the head coach can have at a school like Ohio University.
OU specifically comes from a really strong lineage of head coaches that made their impact on the program. And I think about the modern Ohio hockey era when I say this, when I look at Dan Morris and Sean Hogan and the institutions that they became in Athens. Leo was brought in after a little bit of a challenging dip in quality that the Ohio program suffered during the pandemic. I would describe it as an inflection year for the Bobcats, where they had the capability to return back to their former status or take a little bit of a dive as a program. Leo was able to steward them back to that continued success and legacy and expectation of where the Ohio Bobcats program needs to be within the ACHA. And he did such a stellar job behind the bench, in the locker room, bringing in just world-class talent at the ACHA level, bringing in a guy like Luke Reeve, like and continuing that legacy of strong players to Athens. It's going to leave a huge, huge opening at the top level in men's one. I am so intrigued to see what the program does in its next direction, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was getting deja vu, definitely different circumstances this time around, but I feel like it was this time 3 years ago when Leo took over as the head coach. And it's like, well, how does that look when a team like Ohio gets a new coach this close to the season starting? So we'll have to see what the Bobcats are doing. And certainly they were successful 3 years ago when they turned the reins over to Leo. And I don't know, we got a message here from some of the Blue Line boosters that we're going to cut to.
Yeah, we're going to turn it over to them, let them share their thoughts on Leo and his time behind the bench.
Hi, Leo. Greg Forker here, Secretary of the Ohio Bobcat Blue Line Boosters. You, of course, know that, but the millions of others listening to the pod don't. I know I speak for Blue Line when I say that it's been a great pleasure to have worked with you for the past three seasons. You came in at a time of great turmoil in the program with a very short time to take the reins and also provide much-needed continuity for the boys. After only one season as an assistant, you not only embraced what the culture of Ohio hockey was for the program, the university, and community, that you expanded on it. That you turned the program around in one season was phenomenal. The ACHA Coach of the Year honor was no fluke. It honestly would have been a travesty had it gone to someone else. All of this has happened so quickly. We're sad for our loss. We're sad we can't give you the proper send-off you deserve. We're happy, however, that you've earned this wonderful opportunity. Please know that you will always have a home in Athens. The best of luck to you and Sophia. We love it when our Bobcats succeed, and we eagerly look forward to following your career. Thanks for everything you did for the boys and the program.
Well said by the Blue Line boosters. And two, we got to go to Athens and see firsthand the impact that Leo has had. And I think, you know, with my experiences in the ACHA, you know, I've seen how much a coach can impact a program. And, you know, through our ventures, we've gotten to meet a lot of coaches, and he was definitely a player's coach. I think he's going to be widely successful moving forward wherever he ends up. Like I mentioned, he is going to try to pursue another coaching opportunity down the road, and we will be on standby to let you know when that ultimately breaks. But other coaching news in the ACHA, and I kind of hinted that this next job that became available is definitely one on a lot of ACHA coaches' radars. UNC hockey continues to dominate the headlines. Head coach Adam Dada departs the ACHA for an assistant coaching job with the Greenville Swamp Rabbits in the ECHL. Another earth-shattering coaching change, because there's been so much talk since Frozen Finley about UNC and the success, the recruiting class that's coming in, the boosters funding a rink and buying real estate, and the program having aspirations of one day going NCAA Division I. They're going to make the jump next season and go to ACHA M1. And it was expected that Coach Dada was going to be the man to lead this charge. And now he's taken off for the ECHL, and we wish him nothing but the best of luck. His prior coaching experience includes Manhattanville College, where he was an assistant for 2 years, then the head coach of UNC. And now he's moving on to be an assistant in the ECHL. And he's not going far. He's going to Greenville. So we wish him the best of luck. But again, that's a huge hole to fill in the ACHA, because we got to catch up with him this past season when we went down to Raleigh for the Governor's Cup, and to see the motivation that guy brings and the fire that he has and the love for hockey was really cool to see. So again, wishing him nothing but the best of luck in the ECHL. They are going to get someone local to come and be his replacement. That would be former NHLer Steven Rice. The former Edmonton Oiler, Hartford Whaler, and Carolina Hurricane will take over as the head coach for UNC. His previous coaching experience includes the Carolina Junior Hurricanes, a scout for the Mississauga Steelheads, and now he is coming back home to North Carolina to coach the UNC Tar Heels. So some exciting news, and honestly, going along with this coaching change and Steven Rice coming in, we had UNC play the Carolina alumni team made up of former Carolina Hurricanes, sellout crowd at the Hurricanes practice facility. The Canes alumni won 7-2. The real winner, though, is everybody involved. Hockey continues to grow at a rapid rate in the Southeast, and North Carolina is the capital of it all. And you know, players signing autographs after the game. You had guys on UNC playing against their childhood idols. Like, these kids grew up and they fell in love with hockey because of these Hurricanes teams in the 2000s, and to have them playing against guys like Cam Ward and, you know, the rest of the crew, it was really cool to see, and pretty good to see the UNC guys, you know, in the midst of a coaching change, all getting together and getting out on the ice. So it was really cool to see. I mean, the place was packed. Unbelievable scene here. You know, speaking of scenes, a scene that we love to see and we've become very accustomed to, the site for the 2026 ACHA National Championships has been revealed. They will be using their option to go back to St. Louis after heavy consideration, looking at venues across the country and the dates needed for the event. The tremendous success the ACHA has enjoyed in St. Louis in 2022 and 2024, they are heading back there. Centene will once again host the ACHA National Championships. They'll be back in 2025, 2026, 2027, and 2028. Herm, I mean, we talked about this when this first got revealed because they had planned on playing all of these years in St. Louis. There was an option to go somewhere else for 2026 if needed and maybe break up the two-year stints in St. Louis. They're going to go back in 2026. Not a very surprising move, but I mean, it shows the ACHA's dedication to St. Louis. It is, you know, NCAA baseball has Omaha and the ACHA now has St. Louis. Teams can prep every year. They know they're going to St. Louis. I know as a student athlete, that might not be the most exciting thing to know. You know, hey, there's not going to be a national tournament in Fort Myers or San Jose or Frisco or Chicago, right? You're going to St. Louis every year. But I think from a logistical perspective, to know that that is the end goal, to get to St. Louis every year, I think that's a pretty motivating aspect of it.
I think St. Louis is a solid enough city that there's still plenty to look forward to doing in and around the city. We've been able to explore in the two times that we've been out there.
Twice. We've been twice now.
Twice, yeah. In the two times that we've been out there. And I think it's just a central location within the United States, like geographically, it makes a lot of sense. So that way teams aren't schlepping from the West Coast over to Marlboro, and then say teams in North Carolina aren't schlepping to California.
Yeah, I think it definitely makes it easier because there are so many schools, you know, in the Great Lakes region and the Northeast. So it's kind of like, hey, everybody's going to do a little traveling here. Like, nobody's the real home team for this. Yes, you have a couple of those schools in the Midwest that don't have to travel far for it. There's very few of those. So I think it's really exciting. I think the point I was trying to make, I think the venue itself, Centene, is perfect for this. You have the smaller satellite rinks, and then for the big games at the USA rink, seats 2,000 people. I think it's a great venue for these big games. I think from the perspective of maybe those student athletes who, you know, it's their senior year of college, they go to nationals, and you get guys in the locker room who are like, I kind of want to go on spring break. Like, maybe I don't want to go to nationals and go 1-2 or 0-3. It happens every year. These are teams that go to nationals, but maybe don't really have a chance of winning at nationals. And so I think from that perspective of it, it might be hard for those teams to get the guys up to go to St. Louis. But I think that's kind of the ACHA's mission is, hey, we don't want to be the league that, you know, this is guys are using this as their spring break. Like, we are coming here to put on a national tournament, and it's going to be in St. Louis every year. So I think from that aspect, it's good. Again, I think the venue is perfect for it. And, you know, we kind of saw that in Marlboro. We went, and yeah, there was some quirkiness to Marlboro, but Centene was miles ahead of Marlboro when it came to hosting a big event like that. So exciting for the future. And again, just like the teams, you and I can kind of pencil that in every year to make it out to St. Louis in March. So some very exciting news there. pretty cool sighting down in Texas. You think with college football right around the corner, that's what would be on everybody's mind. But Texas State proving that they're a hockey school. University president Dr. Kelly Damphouse rocked a Bobcats jersey on stage during freshman orientation, which was pretty cool to see. I had to do some double checking when I saw these photos because I thought he was a country music artist that I never heard of, because he's rocking the cowboy hat on stage. He's wearing the jersey, and I'm like, oh, like they got somebody to come in and they like gave him the jersey when he went up on stage. Nope, the university president rocking a hockey jersey 2 weeks before football season starts. You love to see it. So we wanted to give President Damphouse a shout out this week on the pod. We mentioned, honestly, I was expecting more jerseys to be revealed as we got closer and closer to the season. We saw Rutgers came out with a new look for their ACHA M1 team recently, but noticed that Colorado Mesa unveiled a new set of jerseys. A really clean looking set. They got the home jerseys with the Colorado Mesa crest. The road jerseys say Mavericks with the Maverick logo. Very similar to the road jersey reminds me of the Blackhawks third jersey in the late 2000s, and a more traditional jersey striping on the home. But you'll notice that they have a Northwestern Mutual patch on the nameplate on the back, which, Herm, I wanted to get your take on it. You are a jersey nerd. I know ads on the jerseys probably drive you insane, but from a club hockey perspective, is this a genius move to maybe just throw some real estate on the back of the sweater and maybe get them paid for?
I am not a fan of it at the NHL level. I am a little bit more amicable to it at the minor league level. I am very open to it at the club hockey level, as long as it stays respectable and doesn't wind up looking like a European hockey jersey. I think that's really the bar and shouldn't be exceeded by it. I know we've done mock-ups in the past where, like, we had Wawa on the Drexel jersey as a small little patch that you put on the jersey. That's the type of stuff that absolutely I feel like has a place in club hockey, and I expect to see more of in the next 5 years as club hockey continues to have its footprint legitimized for potential sponsors.
What I can appreciate too is that they went with the color scheme that matches the jersey. I think that's maybe the frustration from a lot of teams. I honestly, specifically MLB teams, I think that's where fans have the hardest time wrapping their head around it, is when you have, you know, a team like the Toronto Blue Jays who are red, white, and blue, and they have the giant TD Bank patch on their sleeve that's green. So I got to give them stick taps for getting the colors right with the ad.
It was a point that I think we even brought up as we were at the Mets game too, right? Where I looked at the ads on the outfield in Citi Field and they're all white, and it doesn't look like a mishmash in Times Square of, like, you've got all of these different advertisements and colors that clash. It's a centralized look of fitting into an aesthetic. So when the sponsors are agreeable about making sure that it works visually, I'm more inclined to look at the advertisement favorably.
We got plenty of stick taps this week. We got to rattle them off. Like we mentioned, the theme of this one is ACHA to the ECHL. I want to give some stick taps to UNLV alum Max Johnson on signing an ECHL tryout contract with the Fort Wayne Comets. Johnson, 25, played 80 games with UNLV, scoring 51 goals with 32 assists over three seasons. He was named to the WCHL 2022 All-League First Team and led the Rebels in points during that 2021-22 season. So shout out to Max Johnson signing the ECHL. Now, my brother worked in the ECHL for the Maine Mariners, and he was kind of telling me, because he was like, wow, that's pretty cool, like ACHA guys signing these ECHL contracts. And we're wishing Max nothing but the best of luck. But something to kind of point out this time of year, and honestly, Fitzy would be a perfect candidate to talk through this, is the way the ECHL works is they give all these guys tryouts, and then there's the trickle-down effect of the guys who get cut from the NHL and go to the AHL, and the guys on AHL contracts who get cut and go down to the ECHL. So these ECHL and SP teams will fill their rosters with a lot of guys because they know, well, hey, if we don't get guys sent down, at least we'll have enough. And then worst case scenario, we can send guys down. So that's why you can see the wording in the Comets post here was like they signed him to a tryout contract. So he basically gets a PTO. He'll be on the training camp roster. He'll play the preseason. So we want to wish UNLV alum Max Johnson the best of luck. I think he'll do great. Another guy who's going to be in the ECHL for at least the preseason, I think, is the way this one is worded. I was trying to find the press release for this one. But we mentioned Johnny Witzke, the guy for UMary the last couple seasons, played 5 years with the Marauders. He was expected to start the season in the SPHL with the Quad City Storm. It looks like he's going to do something very similar to Johnson. He's going to head to the ECHL for training camp with Worcester waiting for a formal announcement from the team on this one, whether it's a tryout contract or whether he's going to start the season there. But I mean, big news already. He hasn't played a single minute in the SPHL, and now he's signing on with an ECHL team. So we want to wish him the best of luck. But if it doesn't work out in the ECHL, he might have a familiar face in the locker room, because speaking of Quad City, I want to give a shout out to friend of the pod, Tyson Brower, the former Jamestown goalie of six seasons, spent the last two seasons playing pro in Sweden. He has signed on with Quad City for the upcoming year. So a couple North Dakota college guys maybe teaming up in Quad City later this year. But again, stick taps to Tyson. I know he's been battling it out in Sweden for the last 2 years. I'm sure that's a sigh of relief to come back to the States and play pro hockey. That's got to be super exciting for him. We also have a couple guys playing international right now. We do have the AmeriCup LATAM Cup is going on right now. We saw two teams give shout outs to their guys for playing it. I would assume there's more ACHA, even current players, former players, AAU guys playing this, but we'll start things off with AAU D3, Bama goalie Tyler Terranova is representing Cuba. And then on the ACHA side, Indiana's Leo Warner is competing for Team Columbia. So I want to wish the boys best of luck. That is super cool. I know we're coming off the Olympics and there's a lot of national pride, but to be able to put on a country sweater and represent it, and that place gets rocking down in Florida for the AmeriGold Cup. So I'm sure they'll have the Vuvuzelas out. They'll be decked out in the jerseys. It'll be really cool to watch, and I hope to get some of the highlights from it. And hopefully we get some club hockey guys scoring some big goals in that. Another stick tap, we already mentioned this maybe the last episode or two episodes ago, but URI head coach Joe Augustine was officially inducted into the Rhode Island Hockey Hall of Fame. Herb, I noticed they don't give out trophies or plaques for this. All the award winners were given jerseys, which I think is a really cool award to get for a Hockey Hall of Fame. I think that'll look great maybe in Joe's office or framed in his house. It'll look great, and he certainly deserves that title. And we got a couple more things, Herm. You've added some additions to the notes section here, but I want to make sure we get through them all.
Six app to our buddies at What Chaos, who got sent University of Oregon jerseys. I thought it was a little funny that they added a little caption. After 7 months and one federal mail felony, which I'm going to have to ask Pete about, these beautiful jerseys are finally ours. So awesome to see them repping club hockey. If you're a fan of the podcast, they have a whole setup behind them visually with like a ton of jerseys across hockey history. So very cool to see the Ducks on it. And then honestly, I think that more teams got to follow Texas A&M's lead on this with a public skate date night where you can go through. If you buy one $10 ticket, you get a second one free. I think it's an awesome crossover between Spirit Ice Arena and the Aggies, and more teams that have rinks on campus should be doing that.
Get people at the rink, get them having a good time, and hopefully they stick around for a couple more hockey games later in the semester. A great tweet. We'll start with the hammering hot seat. We had Cal Hockey tweeting out, "A little birdie told me the season schedule is dropping this weekend, but don't tell anyone else." Shortly quote tweeted 2 days later, "Hey guys, so the birdie lied." Not as much engagement as that should, but shout out to whoever's running the social media for Cal. I'm sure they had a nice graphic made. Maybe there's a change to the schedule and they got to go back to the drawing board on it. It is that time of year where schedules are flying off the shelves here. We got a couple more transfer portal updates here. We'll start things off. We got an LIU to UNLV move. That would, of course, be Preston Brodziak. He is transferring, again, from LIU to UNLV. Big addition for the Rebels, which is I think this is a cool transfer portal update. We're talking about it. I honestly can't stand. I feel like there's this cycle in NCAA hockey right now where it's like guys from Lindenwood transfer to LIU, and then guys from LIU transfer to Stonehill, and guys from Stonehill are transferring to Alaska Anchorage. And it's like, what are we doing here? Like, we're just those are guys who are leaving the portal and not finding anything better. This is going to be a great experience for Preston here, going across the country, getting a little taste of ACHA action, the native of Saskatchewan. So, you know, heading to the West. We have a grad transfer here after 4 years with Davenport. Jacob Usha is heading to Calvin, which is interesting. Must be a Michigan boy who loves staying close to home. And yep, Northville, Michigan guy. So he's going to stay close to home. He's going to play some rivalry games for Calvin against Davenport now. So that'll be interesting. Had a NCAA Division III to AAU transfer. That would be from Salem State to Middle Tennessee. And that is Ethan DeMumbrum. Wishing him the best of luck with Middle Tennessee State this year. They're expected to have a turnaround year this year. And then we have an ACHA M2 transfer. We're going from Weber State to Providence. That is Nick Demchuk. So some interesting ones, some noteworthy ones. We have NCAA to ACHA, and then a couple of rivalry ones. Davenport to Calvin and Weber State to Providence. So some things to keep an eye on here. And before we get to our interview tonight, we want to give a shout out to the boys at Mass Maritime. They've been upping their style the last couple seasons. They went with a nice jersey upgrade from Envious Gamewear, and now the boys are getting a Selly hockey hat order for the team. Got to lay my eyes on these ones for the first time today, and they knocked it out of the park with this design. We talk about it a bunch. Teams got to get creative every once in a while with their jerseys or their team apparel. If you know, maybe they can't use the logo. And I know Mass Maritime just got a new athletic department logo, but the boys are sticking with the club hockey colors, the baby blue and yellow. And you got the Bourne Bridge, the Cape Cod Canal, and just a really clean logo. It says Maritime Hockey. Being in Quincy now, I'm hoping to get to a couple more Massachusetts club hockey games this winter. And I hope to see these Mass Maritime hockey hats around the rinks in New England. So I want to make sure that we're giving them a shout out. Of course, remember, get those team orders in now if you want to get some Selly hockey hats for the boys, because season's right around the corner. You want to have the guys looking good. I guess it's the summer of video games, right? Because college football came back and everybody was hyped about that. Now there's rumblings of backyard sports coming back with maybe a potential movie, TV show, games, merchandise, everything coming back in the backyard sports universe. So our wonderful graphic designer, Lane Singer from the Delaware Blue Hens, put up a ACHA edition of backyard hockey. But then we pegged the question, which ACHA or AAU rink would you love to see in the backyard sports universe? So if you're not familiar with backyard sports, it's a PC game that maybe was thriving in the late 90s, early 2000s. And you know, you're playing backyard soccer, backyard football, backyard baseball was the biggest one. They made a backyard hockey, and you're playing at all these wild rinks in people's backyards or streets, alleyways, schools. The fields and courts and rinks were always so unique. I think the answers we got on Instagram were wonderful, but Herm, I'll throw it to you. I'll let you take the first pick on this one. Which rink in the ACHA AAU universe would fit perfectly in backyard sports?
As the resident backyard sports expert on this podcast, there is only one definitive answer, and that's the Classic Center for UGA. Hockey in a Ballroom is made for that franchise, both aesthetically and alliteratively, with the fact that there's always plays on words when it comes to the fields and ranks themselves. That is it right there.
I had a feeling that's what you were going to go with, because that's what I was leaning towards. My first thought when I posed the question on our Instagram story was Chelsea Piers, because that was like the craziest one that I played at. Yeah, you could see it why that would be maybe in the backyard sports universe. But once the minute somebody said the Classic Center, I was like, yes, that is the perfect answer for this question. Because again, hockey in a ballroom, it would just be too perfect for the backyard sports universe. I'm going to go with maybe a non-traditional one on here, but the outdoor rink in New Mexico where they do the nuclear shootout is a great one. The scenes from that, playing hockey at the, I don't even want to call it the base of a mountain, because it's not like there's a hockey rink at the bottom of the mountain. The hockey rink is literally in this, basically on the side of the mountain, and the views are spectacular. The night games, the shadows on the ice, it is a picture perfect venue, and I think that would look great in the backyard sports universe. We got some honorable mentions here that maybe we didn't pick. The Coral Ridge Mall in Iowa, one that just sounds like it's already in backyard sports. Like Coral Ridge Mall is the most generic name for a mall, and that is exactly where they would be playing hockey in backyard sports. It is the home of the University of Iowa Hawkeyes. I didn't pick that one because I think the question is, which one would you want to see? I feel like the Iowa rink would be in there. Like hockey in a mall is too perfect for backyard sports. Herm, what are some other honorable mentions that you loved seeing?
Hockey in a mall technically is in the series if you want to go with it. Squirrel Creek Shopping Center, like you play outside. There's that already technically. My two other ones were Carter Finley Stadium or Truist Field as something that you unlock when you win a season mode. I also had Spring Mountain Adventure on there. Sounds like it would be in the backyard sports franchise as it is, and then it's an outdoor rink. So I think that would be a lot of fun.
Now I gotta look up the names because I'm not as savvy as you. I did play the game religiously as a child. I have not memorized the names. Now I'm looking like Tin Can Alley. I remember that one. Ekman Acres. Playground Commons was a good one.
You know, I prepared for this and I have the list from 05 ready to go if you want that.
Well, so I think I said this in the early days of the podcast. Playing at LaHaye felt like the Super Colossal Dome. That's exactly what that felt like, because you were so used to playing in these other venues that look nothing like this, but this is the big time. They got the scoreboard, they got the fans packed in all around. That was the comparison I had. Oh, the other one that I liked too is somebody said Tennedy Ice Pavilion, because I think that would be perfect. The backyard sports world would definitely have a rink where people are curling and figure skating on the next door, the next rink over on a mini sheet. That is very backyard sports.
I'm just picturing a power up of like certain times in the game where the sun hits the rink just right, certain portions of the ice that light up a color and you get a power up or something like that.
Herm, if the ACHA edition of backyard sports comes to fruition, who is your 1-1 first overall pick?
Are we saying of like a player in the ACHA that I'm taking or like the backyard sports character?
The backyard sports characters. Who is your 1-1?
I'm going to show off that I'm a backyard sports nerd and say Thor Herring because nobody knows about this. I'm gonna get on a high horse here for a second. People talk about the GOATs in backyard sports and always the conversation revolves around Pablo Sanchez, right? And universally people agree on the fact that all of the games, he's the GOAT. Not in the original backyard hockey. When you go in and you put in create a player and you type in Lemon Boy, swear to God, you get Thor Herring, blonde kid with a fully maxed out stats.
I wasn't familiar with Thor Herring's game. Again, I was a little later on. I want to say I had the backyard hockey with Nick Lidstrom on the cover. I had that one for my DS, and I think that was one of the latest versions. Like, I don't know if they made a newer version after that. You know, I'm building my backyard hockey team. You get some speed with Pete Wheeler. He can beat guys to the outside. He was always a good leadoff guy in backyard baseball, gets on base. I was always a big Ahmed Khan guy, though. I think he would be a really good goalie. I don't know the stats to back that up, but that just maybe, you know, he's always jamming out. I think a goalie locked in the zone, just jamming out. Like modern day Ahmed Khan probably plays an ACHA game with AirPods in, right? Like, I think that's exactly the kind of goalie he is.
I can absolutely see that for sure.
Well, Herman, is there any other ACHA, AAU backyard sports comparisons you want to make before we move on to the next subject? Because again, I'm just really hoping when they come out with this game that it's available on Mac, because I just want to play when I come home from work every day.
Murph, you know that you can play the backyard sports games right now on Mac, right?
And I'm going to have to have you show me a safe way to do that.
It's free and safe. If anyone wants to hit my DMs and learn how to do that, I will teach you how to use ScumVM and take care of ROMs.
Let's go. All right, Herm, what's the update on the photo spotlight for the listeners here? Because I had a fantastic time doing the judging yesterday, actually prepping for the men's league championship game. I had an hour when I got home from work and I was like, do I finish putting together my TV stand? And then I got the text from Herm like, hey, Murph, make sure you fill out the photo spotlight stuff. And I'm glad I did, because I made my dinner. I sat in front of my computer for 45 minutes, ranked the photos 1 through 10. And honestly, it was really cool because I think there was a lot of photos that I recognized from the photo spotlights earlier in the season. And it was like nice to see them again. And then I was honestly surprised by the number of photos that got submitted that I hadn't seen before. And there were some really good ones there. I think people like when the tournament gets to the voting stages.
We just wrapped on judges' ballots, which I'm really, really excited about. Tomorrow, when I get home from work, I will go through and set up the spreadsheets. I will probably be putting in, my guess is, another 4 to 6 hours in order to make sure that everything is set on the back end and the PSDs are ready to go. And I'm curating everything for the story so that way everything can go up. When you hear this podcast on Friday morning, everything should, if all went well, will be up to vote, and we will make a story post about that and we'll be ready to go. If it's not ready on Friday, it will be up on Saturday.
Great event we got going on, and we of course time it up so that you get the best of last year's photos right before we get this year's photos at the start of the season. So very exciting news there. We'll kind of wrap things up with 611 thoughts, inside look at some things going on behind the scenes in college hockey. Herm, I'm not sure if you saw this or not. I'm sure there's got to be some conversations in your office about this, but some CHL players have got together and are basically suing the NCAA over not being allowed to play college hockey because of their professional status that they get when they sign major junior contracts in Canada. And as always, you know, college hockey insider Mike McMahon of College Hockey News is on it, and he had a nice tweet. He said, also the lawsuit alleges that including CHL players will lead to more Division I teams, and no way are those two things connected. University presidents aren't going to suddenly add Division I hockey programs because CHL players are available to be recruited. It's a great take, but I think we got to think about this from an ACHA and AAU college hockey perspective. If CHL players start coming down and playing in NCAA hockey and they're taking spots from American kids and other international players who come overseas, like that trickle-down effect could lead to more competitive teams in the Division I levels of club hockey. So I'm curious if you've heard anything in around the office about this and maybe how you could see this affecting club hockey.
I think it means that we start to see a more viable D4 come into effect, honestly. Like, there's so much talent that then potentially comes down from Canada of these kids that want to get an American education. It beats out spots for like your random high school kids, bolsters talent all around. It's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens here.
This is a fun way to tie it up because we do have week zero of college football this Saturday. I honestly think it just goes to show that, like, I don't think the guys in the CHL realize where college hockey sits on the athletics totem pole in the United States. College football is so far ahead of every other sport. And then you have men's basketball. And then you take a significant drop down. And maybe it's women's basketball. Maybe it's baseball, college hockey. It is insane. And I think, you know, Mike McMahon had another good tweet where he was like, university presidents don't know what the CHL is. They don't know what Canadian Major Junior Hockey is. They're not like waiting at the doorstep for these guys to arrive so they can add Division I hockey programs. So I thought Mike did a really good job reporting on this, and I think it'll be an interesting situation to follow. But figured we'd kind of tie that back into college football because I think, you know, hockey in Canada is so big. It is everything. And because the United States has gotten maybe a lot better on the international stage, maybe people just assume college hockey is just as big, but it is crazy how far ahead college football is over the other sports. Oh, I did want to give a shout out to friend of the program, Zach Goldenberg. He was the first recruit that ever stayed with me at Syracuse. He slept on my floor in the BBB dorm. Nick Manousos and I hosted him for the weekend. You know, he ended up loving Syracuse. We took him to, you know, the house at the original hockey house. We took him to the late night dining hall that was open. He was wearing Jordan Edelstein's parka around campus. And he just like instantly was like, I'm not, you know, he was a kid playing in the EHL who I think at the time he would have committed to like King's College in Division III. And he just fell in love with Syracuse, got pushed back to play D his freshman year and, you know, held his own against guys, you know, twice his size. And unfortunately, just too many concussions in Goldie's hockey career. So he's going to step aside his senior year. It was nice. You know, Syracuse did a tribute graphic for him and announced that he's actually going to be joining the team as a part of the coaching staff. So I think he's going to help out with the power play a little bit, help out with the film, you know, anything that the coaching staff needs an extra hand with. But again, he's going into his senior year, and a big thing that we stress on this pod is life after hockey, and he's clearly thinking about that. So he's going to get into the coaching world a little early here. So I think that's the perfect way to wrap up the show, and obviously wanted to give Goldie a shout out, a great teammate and a guy that I had the pleasure to get to know over, you know, the time I was at Syracuse. So I want to give him a shout out. Hockey season is right around the corner. September's knocking on the door, and we're going to keep bringing you all the latest ACHA and AAU college hockey news. And as always, be sure to follow @HockeyHousePod on all social media platforms. We'll see you next week.
See you, boys.